Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. We know the holidays are upon us and lots of folks might be getting new devices, new Apple devices. And the first thing you need to do if you get a new iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch is download the great apps over at virtualmickey.com. You are a hardcore Disney fan. You love Disney and you need to count down to the next Disney trip. So download Days to Go today and make that new device awesome. Check them out and support the folks who support us. They're over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 794 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. And yes, I am a little happy because we have 2.5 days of school left and then we're on Christmas break. And then I am a full-time marathon runner, trainer, and all that stuff because it's getting so close. Earlier this week, I saw everybody posting their magic bands. I got mine. This stuff's getting real, and I have my big last long run this Saturday. Going to go 26, but not the last 0.2. I'm going to save that for Walt Disney World. But wish me luck. It's supposed to snow here on Saturday, so we'll see how goes. I know.
Wait, it's supposed to snow?
Yes.
Oh, man, wouldn't you know it's supposed to snow when I'm going to be in
the
town?
Yeah, it's, you know, it'll be a white Christmas, maybe. Who knows?
Oh, man.
All right, well, you heard her. So we have Ricky here from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com. Happy Wednesday, Ricky, and let's hope for some snow for Christmas.
No, I don't want to hope for snow. I live in the South for a reason.
Whatever. You're still not a true Southerner. You're still a Missourian.
I know. I am. I totally am. But that's okay. So... I don't want to see snow. It's cold. This means I have to pack gloves.
I know. The whole thing was this past weekend, if you're following me on social media, it was just a beautiful weekend here in St. Louis. We had a temperature, a high of 65 on Saturday and a high, I think it was like 70 or 71 on Sunday. Saturday, I got to run in a race with 5,000 Santas, which was awesome. Everybody got a beard and a hat and gloves and a Santa shirt to start, like in your swag bag. It was unreal seeing that many people dressed like, especially the beards. That was right, especially the women. And then we did the hot chocolate run in St. Louis on Sunday. That was a blast. And thanks to everybody who encouraged me to do that one. That was a ton of fun. Except let me tell you this, at mile 1.8, they gave you like handfuls of chocolate chips, but like big chocolate chips, not like little ones, like... Yeah, like the bottoms were like the size
like
of a quarter.
Kisses?
They're like they were kind of like, but they weren't as tall as a Hershey Kiss. But the bottom was about the same, and so, you know, you got to get in the spirit of the thing. I mean, it's like the theme. You know, it's like they hand them
and
to
it's
you.
Chocolate.
That's
you
it.
Can't pass chocolate.
That's it. I know. And so, what do I do? I'm running, and I just chuck like the whole handful in my mouth. I almost choked. I almost died.
My God.
Well, because I've never, you know, I never really contemplated, you know, stuffing my mouth full of chocolate at a full speed run. You know, usually I'm sitting on the couch.
That sounds pretty awesome to me.
Oh, it was. Lying. And then you got marshmallows and Tootsie Rolls and all kinds of stuff, you know, every couple of
miles. I should have done this run. Where is a hot chocolate run?
Oh, they do them all across the country. So if one comes to your town, I'm just telling you, grab it. Hot chocolate 5 and 15 Ks. Check it out. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, I'm sure they have one up in Pittsburgh. What's up?
That's the only
time
we can
have. January 25th. I haven't missed it. Okay, sorry. Oh, wait. That's a 15K. That's not happening.
No, it's not bad. 15K, you can make it.
I still haven't done my 10K yet. Sorry, Pam. Sorry.
It's okay.
I just got really excited there
it's
for a
totally
second.
It's totally fine. No, I know that we have them all kind. We have all kinds of runs like that around here. So, I mean, in the winter, it's cold. And then you have the people that do all that pole or plunge stuff, too.
Yeah,
so,
no thanks.
Not only are they going, like, in the cold, cold water, but it is actually in the Three Rivers, which are... questionable at best, I think, in terms of cleanliness. So it always kind of grosses me out when I see them do that on New Year's Day, too. So anyways, yes, but here we are, ready for another question show.
That's right. All right, let's get to it. And Debbie right now is at Walt Disney World having a fun vacation. While we're here working, we never miss a show. Man. Just saying. Well, I never miss a show. Just kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Mike,
if I miss the show, we all miss a show when Mike misses the show.
Exactly.
That's why I miss it.
There's no show.
That's true. All right. First question comes from Michelle Swanson, my good friend. She says, hello, all. I'm curious about the Disney Vacation account. I don't remember hearing this discussed on the podcast, and I have some questions. Primarily, is this something that can be used if one books through a travel agency, or must all reservations be booked directly with Disney? The wording on the website is a bit ambiguous. All right, so let's stop there, Pam. So what's the word on using a travel agent
you
and the Disney account?
You absolutely can use a travel agent and the Disney Vacation account, and we're happy to do it for guests who do it. So I'll see what other questions she asks, because I have some cautionary tales on this, but... Ooh. We'll just see what she says.
Okay, I'll finish off, then we'll go with that. So, okay. Anne, does anybody have any experience with this program or heard of anyone who has? I'd love to see this as an option for us in terms of taking cruises or the holy grail of Disney vacations, an Adventures by Disney trip. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't book either of these without the assistance of the Magic for Less agent. He is a great guy named Mike. That's funny.
Aww.
That's nice, right?
I
should
actually. So great,
I should proofread these things.
I mean,
maybe you've heard of him. No, yeah, that's right. Mike Corbo. That's it. Looking forward to hearing the crew's take on this subject. Thanks and take care, Michelle. So, Pam, I know that we've had a little bit of experience as an agent. I have as well, and I will say that personally, I had a little bit of this kind of as it first came out. Like I was dealing with this, and then to be honest, I haven't dealt with this in probably 6 months. So it kind of maybe there was a little bit of publicity to it. Now maybe not as much. I don't know. What do you think, Pam?
Yeah, I don't know that there's as many people using it as they anticipated. I don't know. I haven't spoke to Disney about this, and maybe they are. Maybe they're as perfectly pleased as Punch about whoever's using it. But I think one of the things you have to realize is that there are also a lot of people buy gift cards from Target or other things like that. So you really have to look at all your options when you're thinking about what is going to save me the most money. And that was just the one cautionary tale I wanted to put out there. You know, other vacation suppliers have tried things like this, and in the end, they typically end up not lasting that long. Now, Disney, of course, is very different than any other travel supplier, so maybe this is a program that will really, you know, do well. I just, you know, just all those things to think about and consider. And absolutely, I mean, an Adventures by Disney Vacation on top of, you know, if you think other Disney vacations are expensive, you haven't seen it. But I will say that this is the one vacation that over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, we hear when guests get home, it was worth every penny. I want to do it again. Let's schedule it. So, you know, just something to think about there. And I can tell you from my own personal experience, which we have to do a show on. Gosh.
That's what I was going to tell you.
Oh my gosh, I got two emails. That's right.
I got two emails the last 2 weeks about your ABD to Italy that people want to hear about it. So
yeah, we have to schedule that. You know what? Steve came home and had surgery, and that was just a whole big blah. So anyways, but it is absolutely a vacation that is worth seeing. Don't think of it as a once in a lifetime vacation, because once you experience one, you're going to want to go on it another one. So,
yeah. Speaking of that, Adam went out to Alani this past week, and I swear I didn't think he was coming back to the mainland ever. I haven't had verification. I saw that he checked in at his house, but that could be just throwing us off the trail. I'm not sure.
And that's what my parents went, you know, when it first opened, and they loved it so much too. So it's a great spot. I've been to Hawaii, not Alani in particular. So I need to make time to get out there. Do you hear this? I need to.
Me too.
I mean, I think you need someone to take with you. I'm just saying. I fly. Mike doesn't. So
I might fly. After those pictures, I might fly for that. That was unbelievable. Unreal, those pictures. So Ricky, real quick, before we wrap up this email, I know Michelle knows how this works, but for somebody that's maybe stepping into this Disney Vacation account right off the bat, can you kind of give a general overview of what this program is?
So really, it's kind of like those old Christmas accounts that, you know, people used to have. So essentially what you do is you can estimate your budget, figure out what it's going to be. You create a plan, you save up your money in this savings account. That's essentially what it is. This is like this little Disney savings account. And then you can track your progress, so you can see how much money that you've accrued over the time. And then you can easily book your vacation. So that's essentially in a nutshell what it is. So it's basically a way to save up your money and track your progress to make sure that you can get that dream vacation for Walt Disney World that you've always wanted, or Disneyland, or Disney Cruise Line, or Adventures by Disney. So,
all right, sounds good. And I know that they were having some introductory kind of offers where they gave you some kind of a credit or something. Don't know if that's going on, but just check the, you know, just Google it and you'll get more information. All right, next question comes from Christy Arthur. She says, hi, Mike, Ricky, Pam, and Debbie. I have a question for you. Normally, I'm able to answer most of my friends' Disney World-related questions, but this one really stumped me. Here goes. Okay, thinking caps, ladies.
We're in trouble. Okay.
We're fine.
I was talking to a Disney friend of mine whose other friend is trying to book her first trip. She has three kids, smallish kids, plus her husband and herself. So she needs a room that holds five people. Apparently, when trying to book online, the system is telling her that there are only two resorts that will accommodate that many people other than DVC, and there's no availability for them. I don't know which resorts these were. And the people through the Magic Fairy chat window, I guess that's a Disney live chat, are telling her the same thing. Is this true? I don't have any kids, let alone three of them, so I haven't had any experience with this. Loads of people have more than two kids. My original understanding was that they just give her a cot for the extra person, and she might have to pay $10 or more per night for the extra person. It seems rather bizarre to me that almost none of the resorts can accommodate a family of five, because Disney is kind of a family place, so you think they'd be able to accommodate families. Thanks for the help. As always, love the show. You guys are awesome. Keep up the magic and living the Disney-dusted life. Christie's in Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. Oh. All right, so I think this is kind of interesting because I think what's happening is the cast members, obviously the computer system has to look at it in a very narrow way. It's looking for criteria X, and it's eliminating other options that don't fit. Where this is where, I mean, not to toot, you know, I do work as a travel agent, but this is where, you know, anybody that's a human can start using, you know, their brain and figuring out I've heard the phrase, there's a lot of ways to skin a cat. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can figure out how to do this. Like, you can get two rooms at a value. Go with a family suite. I mean, there's lots of options. So, Pam, I mean, this is one of those things. I think what's happening is the criteria is going in the chat. The cast member in the chat's probably not being super creative in their solutions either.
Agreed. We do this all the time, and we're used to trying to help people. So, first of all, I will say, just recently, Disney's online system and their regular system is starting to let us book rooms for five at Caribbean Beach Resort. It's one of the moderates that, with the recent refresh of the rooms, they have added one of those pull-down beds that they also added at Port Orleans Riverside. So right there, you have two moderates that can accommodate five guests. In addition, of course, you have Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort, which again is an option. It's more expensive than the moderates, but something to consider because it has that kitchen, which could save a lot of money too, especially with the family of five. Another thing to consider, before you get to the villas are the family suites at Art of Animation and Disney's All-Star Music Resort. And those accommodate up to six guests. Again, they also have a kitchenette, not a full kitchen like Fort Wilderness does, but a kitchenette. And, they're very spacious too. They also have an additional bathroom. So that's something that you want to consider. And then finally, we often recommend two rooms at either a value or a moderate. They can be less expensive than before you even consider the deluxe villa resorts, because once you get into a one bedroom there, they're fairly pricey. But two rooms at a value allows you some extra perks. For instance, you have two bathrooms, and that sometimes, if it's two rooms at a value, is not much more than the one room that can accommodate five at the moderate. That may be something you want to consider, because that, I think that extra bathroom, depending on the age of your children, can be very, very important, and something to think about. Or you can also do two rooms at French Quarter, which, you know, and Coronado, which don't have those rooms that accommodate five. So hopefully that gave you a few things to think about, you know. Up until a few years ago, Disney was not the most accommodating when it came to groups of, you know, more than four. It just isn't. And I will mention, too, that Disney does not allow you to just put a cot in a room that would accommodate four. They actually have very strict policies on the number of people that each room can accommodate. And because of fire codes, they do not exceed those, even with a cot. So something to think about there.
I thought it was because of the lifeboats. Oh, wait, that's Cruise Line.
Yes. And some people used to, before maybe not tell the whole truth on that, but now with Magipans and things like that, you can't even, that's not even a possibility. So don't, it's not worth it. So just find one that fits your budgets and your needs and you'll be great.
Yeah, we had seven of us in two moderate rooms that had the connecting door. And, you know, we thought it was very spacious over at Riverside. You know, we had seven people. I mean, we were going back and forth between the two. I mean, Pam, like we had our room and, you know, Pam's sister and her daughter had the other room and the kids just went back and forth. But it was, you know, it's nice. And I think the two rooms is a way to go. And also, you know, check out the family suites. But when you're anytime you're booking online, just a quick, and everybody probably knows this, but, you know, if you don't see it online, call, because there's a lot of other solutions than what you're going to show online. That's kind of the bottom line with that one. All right. Next one's from Robin. She says, hi, Mike, BOGP team. We are thinking of renewing our annual passes for next year. They expire in December of this year. We are going down in January for marathon weekend, so we would need to renew by then. We have a 2-year-old who turns 3 in March. How would her annual pass work? Would she always be on a different time frame as us, with ours starting in January and her starting in March or after? Or can we pay a prorated amount for hers to expire with ours? How do we get our annual pass renewals to all fall at the same time? Robin is in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Go Demon Deacons. So, Ricky, do you know how that would work? It might not even be a disadvantage. It might not be a bad advantage to have them on different cycles when they if you're going to keep renewing them. That way you don't have to hit that all at once, man.
I
bought 4 at once and I about fell out. Oh, my God. Ridiculous. I could have had a car.
Big shock. Yeah.
So what is there any other option? I mean, that might not be a bad option, but what if they want to keep them all the same? Can they?
I haven't heard. The only thing I can think of is if they bought the daughters ahead of time and just went ahead and used it. You know, that's the only thing I can think of. I mean, while she was still 2. I mean, unless Pam has any other ideas, that's the only thing that would work. Yeah. You know, if they want to keep it on the same schedule, you know, that's the only thing that would work, unless, like you said, I mean, it may not be such a bad idea to have it on a different schedule. Yeah, it kind of stinks not to be able to pay it all at once, but then again, you have the perk of not having to pay it all at once.
Exactly. So. That's kind of a bonus.
Yeah. So I say, you know, keep it till March, but if you really want to use it, go ahead and use it early.
Here's the quandary with annual pass renewals. This is my quandary because, like, I don't go every month. You know, I'm not a local. So, I'll have, you know, sometimes 6 months, 7 months in between a trip, but I might go 3 or 4 times in a year. So it's kind of like right now I don't have an annual pass because mine expired it expired after the summer. And so I've just been buying Magic Your Way tickets these last couple of trips because it's one of those things where I don't want to renew it to save was like $50 or something. I mean, it's not a huge amount. It's like something like that. But I mean, I also don't want to lose months and months of time to save $50.
That was the quandary that Brian and I had too with our last pass. And I decided my pass expired in July and I decided to wait and renew it in September when I went down, you know, with my mom and my grandma, because it just made more sense and I'd be able to get more use out of it in the end instead of having to burn it in the, you know, I could have renewed it but I wasn't using it in July and August. So it'll end up working out in the end, but yeah.
You see, then they're in that bad spot because theirs expire in December. They want to go down in January, but they could hold off if they weren't going in January till March and then get that 4 months. You know what I'm saying? And have the 12 months starting in March instead of December. But with the January trip, I understand how you're trying to maximize your park ticket. So, Pam, really no good solution on this one. Just kind of, you got to just look at it and see what you can do.
No, I totally agree. They don't offer a prorating, you know, in that sense. If you were upgrading a ticket, there is a prorating system for that. But no, other than this, no, they do not. They do not. So,
all right. Guess where this next question comes from? Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
And it's not Steve asking what's for dinner. That was our best call ever on a live show.
That was so best call.
That was. All right. Now it's from Brent Sandrock. And he says, hi, Mike and the girls. I'm eagerly anticipating your first album to drop. So we got to get cut. We got to get back in the studio, guys. And
I mean, totally. It's the best album ever.
That's it.
Too bad you guys don't get to listen to it.
I know. All right, quick question for you. I will be traveling to Japan for work in January of 2015, and I'm trying to schedule flights. Schedule my flights so that I have a weekend day either before or after my work week there to pop over to visit either Tokyo Disneyland or Tokyo Disney Sea. Have any of you ever been there before? What would you recommend for a one-day visit? I've only heard wonderful things about Disney Sea, so I was thinking of spending my day there, but I wonder if I would regret not seeing Tokyo Disneyland to be able to compare it to the Magic Kingdom or Disneyland in California. I know that the passes don't allow hopping the first 2 days, so I don't think I could do both parks on the same day with only one available day to visit. Since this is a working trip, I won't have my family with me, so I'll just be touring by myself. Any thoughts? Thanks. Brent is in Pittsburgh. So, first of all, I'll say a couple resources. I don't think we haven't been, right? Nobody? Pam, have you?
No. I don't think so. I just haven't been able to handle that flight yet.
It's on the bucket list.
Here's a couple. I'm just going to give a couple resources. First, we did a show with Bernie Edwards, and he talked about he was over there for NASA doing some trips, and he's actually done this, I think, more than once, where he combines, obviously, his NASA work, being a rocket scientist, which is, I love telling my kids, like, I'm friends with a rocket scientist, for real, rocket scientist for NASA. Like, he builds stuff that is in space. They don't believe me, but I'm like, I'm telling you, like, he was at I've showed him on NASA TV. He's sitting in Mission Control as this launch. This is him. But anyway, he did a show, so search the archives. Just, type in Tokyo or something on our brguestpodcast.podbean.com site, and you'll be able to pull that one up. That's a good, he gives a lot of great information. We've also had Deb Wills on one of our live shows from the 12-hour live shows, one of those segments. And she talked about her. Was she in Shanghai? And she went to Tokyo Disneyland.
No, Shanghai's not open yet.
No, that's right. That's right. She went to Hong Kong. I get them all these Asian ones.
Hong Kong and Tokyo.
That's it. But she went to Tokyo. I remember talking about the food and everything. So that's another good resource. And also, I believe Tom Bricker would be a place to go to. He's done a lot of photo work. And
what I've learned from Tom, just reading his stuff, is that there's no way you could do everything in one day. So just know that. No matter, even if you tried park hopping, there's no way. And I've also learned that crowds are ridiculously busy even on a Tuesday. So just know that you're going to have to get there early at rope drop, and there's going to be a ton of people, and it's just insanely busy. So you're going to have to do some research, pick the things that you absolutely want to and have to see. And make sure you hit those up, because waits can get, to be a couple hours long for a lot of the attractions. So know that going in, you're not going to get to see everything, and you're going to have to pick and choose what you see.
What's Tom's site? DisneyTouristBlog.com?
DisneyTouristBlog.com.
Okay,
yeah, and he's got tons and tons of information about, traveling to Tokyo and Hong Kong. I think he's been to Hong Kong. I know for sure he's been to Tokyo. So.
Yep. And so let us know how it goes. Have a great time over there.
Boy, jealous. Take me with you. Please let me fit in your luggage. I'll be fine.
All right. Next question comes from Winona Curry. She says, hi, this is Winona, Disney for Nona on Twitter and on the boards. Longtime listener to the podcast and Magical Mouse Radio. First time question asker. So excited. Just paid off our January 2015 vacation with the wonderful assistance of Mike and the Magic for Less team. So why not? And again, I just want to, it's the end of the year, and we're going to, talk about this probably in the next couple of weeks, but when you guys help by booking with the Magic for Less, you do help support this show and keep this going, and it's really kind. So I thank everybody who's done that this past year. Let's see here. So, question. Here's the question. I'm very good at searching for Disney info, but need your help on this one. Have dinner the last night at 5:05 p.m. at Ohana. What are the chances of us being able to drive up and park there at the hotel for a 5:05 reservation? I know the Poly is a mess with construction. If we can't do that, how long of a walk is it from the TTC to the Poly? I do know there is a path. Thank you for the help, and thanks for the continued hard work. You guys take commitment to the next level. Well, no, not like that, because I do want to be committed to the show. And you guys are committed to us. That's why we do this. Because you guys always listen, even when our shows are bad like today. Today I'm struggling reading the emails. So if you have an ADR at Ohana, that's a legitimate reason to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. And the parking lot's not a mess with the Polynesian anymore.
They actually
not on that side. Yeah, it looks fantastic, actually.
It looks so good. Yeah.
It is. It's great.
And the pathway is closed right now anyway, so you wouldn't have gotten from the TTC.
Another way to do it, actually, but and it's not far either. I think it's always so funny when people who, let's say they try to skirt the rules and want to park at the Polynesian instead of at the TCC, because honestly, the TTC is so close to the Polynesian. I mean, if you really wanted to do it, you could just walk over. So anyways, just saying. But you're not skirting the rules. I'm not trying to suggest that. I'm just saying.
No. She's fine. If she's got a reservation, all she's got to do is tell them, hey, I've got a reservation, and she's good to go.
Sounds like somebody has a guilty conscience. I'm just saying.
Somebody does. I never drive.
Next question before we get ourselves in any trouble. James December has this one. He says, good afternoon, Mike and the ladies. First, I want to say how much I love your show and how much you guys get me through the day, as I am a sales rep and travel about 1,500 miles a week in my car.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Wow.
He's an honorary trucker. We talked about truckers last week.
For sure. Wow.
All right. I have a couple questions for our upcoming trip in December. We'll be traveling to Disney World on Black Friday. We'll be staying at Port Orleans French Quarter for a couple of days in Old Key West for the last 3 days. My first question is, we are wanting to have some professional pictures done for our Christmas cards. It is myself, wife, and 7-year-old daughter. Does Disney offer a professional picture service, or is it just better to use Memory Maker? All right, let's stop there. There's a couple more. So, Ricky, what do you know about that?
Yes. Okay, so you can use Memory Maker. And, of course, you asked me this question. I'm trying to Google it. But they do have a professional photo service. Hang on. I'm just trying to find it.
It's a fine arts.
Yes, that's it. Yes, and they have a website. DisneyFineArtsPhotography.com. And you can go there and you can find out more about where you can, you know, schedule your session and stuff like that. I'm not sure if sessions can be scheduled in the parks. I know they can be scheduled at the resorts for sure. Either way you go at it, it's a great option, you know, whether you get a professional session done or you just get Memory Maker and use those photos. I mean, either way, it's fine. It'll be perfect. So.
And Ricky, close your ears for this next one, because you're not going to like what I'm about to say.
I know what you're going to say.
So one of our agents at the Magic for Less did something that was, it was an epiphany. It was a great idea.
It's a great idea. I saw it too.
Her family, they're Disney family. They've grown up at Walt Disney World, taking vacations there. And when their daughter was a senior in high school, instead of doing the traditional senior pictures at the local photography studio, they went to Disney and for about the same price did like a photo spread down at Walt Disney World at different locations and stuff like that. I thought that was pretty unique.
That is a really unique idea. I like it.
I wish I would have thought of it, actually.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. But I will, because those senior pictures are awesomely expensive, let me say. Not too long ago, we did it with hand. But I mean, you know, I think stuff like that is really cool too. I think that there are things that definitely the candid shots capture that even a professional photographer can't capture. But at the same token, there are things that a professional photographer will capture that candid shots just can't. So I think there's, you know, a lot of value in both.
Yep, and let the record state that Paige had hers done at Studio 411, Rick Nibble Photography.
She did. We're all good.
It's all good. I just, you know, something to think about. I didn't think about that. Second question, where would be the best place to have these pictures taken? We plan on driving around and seeing some of the decorations at the different resorts, but from your all's experience, what would be the best place to have some Christmas pictures taken?
Since I have the answers now, it looks like they photograph at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge, Disney's Beach Club Villas, Disney's Grand Floridian Resort, Disney's Polynesian Resort, and Disney's Yacht Club. So out of those, I'd say Animal Kingdom Lodge, but that's just my opinion. So.
Or Yacht Club if you're doing a Christmas card.
That's true.
They do those decorations, don't they? Like, is that the Beach Club? Where's the carousel?
Beach Club does the carousel, yeah.
But
the Yacht Club has the train.
Although the Grand Floridian, you've got the
tree and the gingerbread house. That would be great, too.
We did not help with this question.
I'd say Grand Floridian is what I would say now that I think about all those.
I think it really depends on the girl, though.
Is she Victorian?
Their family, though. It's for their family.
Okay. Then I think it depends on the family.
Yeah.
Grand
like, Floridian. What is more near and dear to your heart?
That's true. All right, last question is, we'll be attending the Christmas party on December 2nd. What do you think the crowds will be like for this day, and how many people do they usually allow in the park for special Christmas party events? Thanks for all you guys do. It makes my day enjoyable and keeps Disney at the top of my mind. James is in Evansville, Indiana. All right, so obviously that has passed, but what are you hearing, Ricky, about the crowd levels this year for the Christmas parties? Crazy?
You know, I'm hearing that they're selling out. So, you know, a lot of times they are selling out. Even some of the November dates were selling out. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind, is that if you want to go to the Christmas party or even the Halloween party, really consider booking your tickets ahead of time. Now, they're usually not selling out until a couple days ahead of time, but still, just know that if you're planning on going, try to get your tickets at least a couple of days ahead of time. Otherwise, you might be out of luck, which is exactly what happened to me. So,
you got to look at it like it saves you money when you get shut out. Like, oh,
right. Well, that's true. Yes, it did save me money. That's for sure.
If you're like a couple, you're like, oh, I'm $130 in the right. in the red here.
No,
in the black.
No,
I
yeah,
can't remember.
Yeah.
I'm so bad.
In the red means you spent the money. More.
No, because that's what it is with Disney. You know, you're never in the black when it comes to Disney.
Whatever.
I mean, come on.
No.
All right, last question of the day comes from Ricky Niblett. Actually, it comes from Wade Anderson Alderson from Facebook. Which good pickup, Ricky, for getting that.
It's a good thing that I look at the Facebook account. I'm
you're the social media guru, so I'm just a teacher. Hey guys, love the show, and you were the first I thought of to answer a question about a little problem I have. My sister and I make it a point to go to Walt Disney World twice a year. She was in an accident and broke both of her ankles. She has to have a number of surgeries on her ankles, so will not be able to be on her feet at all for 18 to 36 months. Is there any way I can take her to Disney World and do things with her so she does not feel left out and can believe in the magic of Disney? Thanks, Wade. Go ahead, Ricky.
Yes. I mean, absolutely. There, you having just traveled with my grandmother and done the whole wheelchair thing, you can absolutely ride pretty much, I mean, with the exception of a few things, of course. But for the most part, you can ride most everything. They have attraction vehicles that are set up to just wheel the wheelchair in and wheel it out. And it's super easy. She doesn't have to get out of it. You know, like I said, it's not for every attraction, but for most attractions. Like, you know, she can't go on Space Mountain. I mean, that's just not going to happen. But there are a few that she may have to, like I said, like Space Mountain, she may have to transfer out of. I don't know how well she'll be able to walk. If at that point, you know, then those ones she is kind of probably out of luck on. But everything else, it's easy peasy.
You know, and as I look at this, and I mean, it seems like it's a tradition, and I love this, that a brother and a sister would do this, you know, and have this thing to look forward to a couple times a year. I would say that because of the accident, she probably needs this trip more
than ever.
Absolutely. I would say if she didn't go, it might be more harmful than, you know, going, definitely.
It's true. And you won't even, like, you barely even notice. You wait in the, for the most part, the same lines as everyone else. It's so super easy. Like, seriously, just go. You're going to have a great time. Honestly, you will.
All right. Well, thanks so much for the great questions. Keep those coming to Mike@BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We'll answer those here on a future episode. And today's show, as always, here on a Wednesday, brought to you by the good folks over at VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now, it's the holiday season, so if anybody gets a new Apple device, first thing you need to do is load up Days to Go WDW. It's going to make that...
The second thing is to download our podcast.
Yeah, download the BR Guest app, of course. But, you know, virtualmickey.com is your first stop because, you know what, you can listen to the show many, many ways, but this is the best way to get excited because whether we have the deposit down or not, we all have that next vacation kind of in the back of our mind, like when we're going to go. Put it right there so you have a reminder. I know that right now I get a little nervous. It's weird because I usually get so excited for a trip, but when I see my number now getting like smaller through the 20s, I'm like,
that means you have to run.
I know, it's so weird, but it's so fun too, because then I start looking at the pictures like, all right, that, you know, the race is like 5 hours, but I'll get to, you know, like Toy Story's on it right now. Like, I have a fast pass for Toy Story. I love that ride. You know, if I get swept, I'm not going to get swept, I hope. But, I mean, you know, I'd be upset. But, you know, I also want to win Toy Story. So that app gets me excited for my next trip, and that's what it'll do for you as well. And they have other great apps as well for the Disney fan in your life. So check them out today over at virtualmickey.com. The next Be Our Guest Podcast live show is this Sunday. We're getting together on Sunday night at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. That is December 21st, I believe. So join us. It'll be a fun little holiday get-together to kind of kick off the big Christmas week. And we'll be having a lot of fun talking Disney. So again, join us on Sunday night at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, right there at MagicalMouseRadio.com. MagicalMouseRadio.com is playing the best mix of Walt Disney World in-park audio and music right now. And of course, we are Merry Mouse Radio for the holiday season. And please do turn us on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day all day and all night as we play nothing. We get rid of the regular stuff and play nothing but classic holiday audio. The holiday audio from the parks, the resorts, everything that you love. We're going to be the Disney holiday soundtrack for your holidays here in 2014. So please turn it on, leave it on all Christmas Day and all Christmas Eve over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. Get in touch with us on the social media. We love talking to our listeners and hearing from you. So send a message to Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Also, drop by the Facebook group at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast and join the forums over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. And as Ricky said, download the Be Our Guest Podcast app in the Apple App Store today. It's free and it's fun. And you can listen to the show, listen to the radio station, get on Facebook, get on the forums, all that from one little place. It's pretty cool. All right, we're going to get out of here and we'll get back together on Friday. So until then, for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike wishing you a great midweek. Stay safe and keep working hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.